I want to add one announcement I didn't mention to you, Jerry, but this is our final Awana Night Tuesday. This is April 24th, and up here on the stage, you'll see the three-year-olds all the way up to grade six. Some grade seven, eights will be up here, but celebrating our Awana year, it's drawing to a close, and so that's this Tuesday. Everyone is welcome. Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. This is how Charles Dickens begins his classic story, A Christmas Carol. The account, though, that we are going to consider begins this way. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong so that the land was filled with them. That's from Exodus 1. And so against that backdrop, we are introduced to this character, Moses, a man of courage. Sometimes we've been talking about a few men of courage on Sunday morning, and sometimes these guys seem out of reach for us. God seemed to use them in powerful ways, but how could he use me, or how could he use you like this? But these guys are just like us. They're ordinary guys. James would write in the New Testament about Elijah. He was a great prophet, but James said this, he had a nature like ours. King David, great guy, successful, it says he became greater and greater. But why? It says that the Lord was with him. You and I are ordinary people, but we serve an extraordinary God. We may describe the life of Moses using this popular word, epic. He seems larger than life, going beyond the ordinary. And there's so much that we could talk about this morning, but we don't have time to do that. We could talk about Moses standing before Pharaoh, announcing for God, "Let my people go." We could talk about the plagues, the Passover, the parting of the Red Sea, receiving the Ten Commandments, wandering in the wilderness with a bunch of complainers. We could talk about mentoring his successor, Joshua, and there's much more. Now, here's the thing, though, what we're going to talk about. You and I need the courage to refuse some things in this life, and the courage to choose better things. The courage to choose and to refuse. So I'd ask you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And this morning we're going to learn from the example of Moses, a man of courage, and how he had the courage to choose and to refuse. So let's pray together. Before we begin, Heavenly Father, thank you for the songs that we could sing in worship to you. You alone are worthy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so we would say, not to us, not to me, Lord, but to you and to your name be the glory. Thank you for the freedom we have in this country to meet in this way. And we thank you that we can have Bibles. Please help us to learn. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that's contained in it. And most of all, I would thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. We're going to start there. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Courage, to show yourself strong. Boldness, not because you are so great, but because you are one of God's children. Philippians 4:13 would say this, "I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me." So this is confidence, courage, based on the promises of God. So here we've read, Moses courageously chose to be identified as God's follower, turning his back on anything that sin had to offer. He refused to be identified with the world, but rather looked forward to what God had in store for him. This series is based on the Courageous movie, and I'm just going to play one clip from there.
I want to be a good enough father. We have a few short years to influence our kids. Whatever patterns we set for them will likely be used for their kids and the generation after that. We have the responsibility to mold a life. And I don't think that should be done casually.
Casually. Speaking as a father, I cannot be casual about the influence that I would have on my children. I have been given the God-given responsibility to mold, to influence, to shape the lives of my children. And as Christians, we cannot be casual about our walk with the Lord. We have a responsibility. Now, as part of Courageous the movie, a resolution was written. You may have read it. This is how it begins. It says this: I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children, speaking to fathers specifically. The first three points are as follows: I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God. As the spiritual leader of my home, I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all of their hearts, all of their minds, and all of their strength. I need courage to fulfill this resolution. We need courage. I'm going to ask you to turn back to Exodus chapter 1. In your Bibles, Exodus chapter 1. The people of Israel are living in Egypt. They came there with their families when there was a famine in the land. We were reminded of this talking about Joseph. Joseph was in Egypt, though through the evil of his brothers, but God meant it for good so that his family could be kept alive. We're going to pick up at verse 6. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king in Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us." If you go down to verse 13. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. And then down to verse 22. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." And then the first two verses of chapter 2, Exodus. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. Before we take a closer look at Moses, this man of courage, we're going to turn our attention to Moses' parents. Here we see that Moses' parents, they're not even named when we first encounter them. But their legacy continues to this day. It's only in chapter 6, in a bit of a family history, that we read this: Amram took as his wife Jochebed, his father's sister, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. I'll just show this to you. You don't need to turn back to Hebrews 11. But it says this about Moses' parents. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So here, Amram and Jochebed lived by faith in a desperate and a dangerous time. At a time when the birth of a baby boy was a death sentence, these parents chose to hide their baby. They refused to give in to political pressure. They were not afraid. They knew that God had a purpose for this child. The birth of Moses was God's answers to the cries of his people. They were groaning there in Egypt. They were enslaved and oppressed. And out of slavery, a great leader was born. Now, in our day, we live in a similar time where life is not valued. In our country, 100,000 unborn babies are aborted each year. Have we lost the next great leader in this generation because of a choice based on fear or convenience? We'll never know the answer to that question, but we can read about Amram and Jochebed. They knew that God had a purpose for their son. So as parents, I'm a parent, I'm speaking to myself as well, we must be encouraging and supportive of our kids. The resolution that we read said, "As a father, I will bless my children." Now, I've got a 7-year-old boy. His name is Micah. He's very competitive. I think you might get that from me. It seems that boys in grade 2 always want to be first. First in line, first out of the van door. And he'll say things like this at school: "I'm the best soccer player." But we coach him to say, "I like playing soccer and to enjoy the sport," instead of puffing up his own ability. But you know, despite all he says and puffing up his own ability, I want to be a dad that encourages my son in what he does, cheering for him, being an example for him, blessing him, and teaching him. Now, sports and education are important, but how about spiritual matters? Michael Catt, he's the senior pastor of Sherwood Baptist Church. He was the executive producer for the Courageous movie. He wrote a book entitled Courageous Living, and in it he writes this: "If you fear the consequences of taking a stand for your faith, your children will most likely pick up clues from you. If God's word, the church, and righteousness are not priorities, they probably won't be priorities for your kids." We're going to look at Exodus 2 again, the following verses. Exodus 2, verse 3. "When she," this is Jochebed, "could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dabbed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young woman walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it." So Moses is placed in a basket by Jochebed. It was time. They couldn't hide him any longer. She's trusting that God would protect and preserve her child. And notice in verse 4, it says that Miriam stood at a distance. This is Moses' sister. To see what would happen to her baby brother. Now, what mother would knowingly send their daughter to go and watch her younger brother be murdered? But Jochebed believed that God would deliver her son, Moses, and God used Pharaoh's own daughter to do that. So here we see the courage of Amram and Jochebed. Moses' parents chose to obey the Lord. They refused to fear Pharaoh. And because of that, Moses would stand courageously before the new Pharaoh and become the deliverer of God's people. Fathers, parents, we have the responsibility to mold a life. Michael Catt continues writing this. He says, "It saddens me to see Christian parents who do little and expect the church to do everything when it comes to spiritual nurturing. The church can't resurrect what the home puts to death. Kids need parents with tenacity, tough love, and boundaries." Author Randy Alcorn, he writes this anecdote about his grandsons. He wrote this: "When the summer started, our grandsons weren't having all that much fun in our big side yard. Why was that? Because there's a road on the north side of our yard, and these days the cars present a real danger to careless children chasing balls, and our grandsons love to chase balls. So we would hover over them and tell them to stay in the middle of the yard and not go to the edge by the road. When they made a move toward the road, they sensed the tension in our voices. None of us were free. So my wife and I decided that we needed to get a fence. There are a lot of people who think that the scripture's warnings and commands are restrictive, that they hamper our freedom. We want to be free to do whatever feels best to us. But as a loving father, God builds fences to protect us, just like those grandchildren playing in the yard. And if we stay within the fences he has put up for us, we experience not frustration, but joy, not bondage, but freedom. The same is true for us as parents. We need to parent with determination, with love, and with boundaries. Do I understand my role and responsibility as a parent? Do you, parents? Am I looking to the Bible to guide me? Are you? Am I parenting biblically? Said in the little video clip, I don't want to be a good enough father. We have a few short years to influence our kids. The patterns that we set for them will likely be used for their kids and the generation after that. We're going to turn our attention now to Moses, considering Moses' parents, but Moses. Back in Hebrews 11, verse 24, I'll read this again. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses had the courage to choose and to refuse. We're going to look at a few of these points. Perhaps Moses was in line to be the next king of Egypt and would have been able to help the Israelites in this way. But no, Moses refuses to be identified with Pharaoh. He refuses to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, rather wanting to be identified as an Israelite, a son of Abraham. Jesus, in his day, had a confrontation with the Pharisees. In John chapter 8, about whose children the Pharisees were. The Pharisees said that they were Abraham's children. But Jesus said this in John 8, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works that your father did. And who is Jesus referring to? He would say, if God were your father, you would love me. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. Earlier, Jesus had said to those who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. James MacDonald, pastor, author, he said this about abiding in Christ. Abiding involves continuing in Jesus' words and what God's word has revealed about him, that he is God, that he's our substitute, that he's the only hope of salvation, that he's Lord, that he's the purpose for life itself, that all that really matters in this world is to live and serve Jesus Christ. If there's a growing pattern of that in your life, you are his disciple indeed. Is Jesus your substitute? Is Jesus your only hope of salvation? I'm going to watch another video clip from Courageous.
Hey, Nathan, can I ask you something?
Yeah, what's up?
Do you really feel like it messed up your childhood not having a dad?
More than you know. I struggled with who I was, trying to prove myself. Almost got in the game. You know, if fathers just did what they're supposed to do, half of the junk that we face on the streets wouldn't exist. Why are you worried about it? You nervous about being a father one day?
I already am one.
You got a kid?
A little girl. She's 4 now. I was playing ball in college. Hooked up with a cheerleader. I told her to take care of it. She didn't do it. So I got mad and left her to deal with it herself. You know, she lives 30 minutes away now. And I can't bring myself to go see her.
Is she married?
No. I just never really loved her, you know? And then hearing you guys talk about how father's walking out, messed up the kids. And then seeing this stuff. I don't want to be one of those guys.
David, part of being a man is about taking responsibility. Any fool can have a child.
I'm just tired of feeling guilty.
Well, let me break it to you this way. You are guilty. Listen, one day you, me, and every one of us are going to have to stand before God. And he's going to do what good judges do.
Well, and I hope my good outweighs my bad, Nathan.
That's not the way it works. You know that. Let me put it this way. Who's the person you're closest to?
Probably my mom.
Okay. Suppose she was brutally attacked and murdered in a parking lot. The guy was caught and put on trial. But he says, hey, Judge, I committed this crime, but I've done a lot of good in my life. If the judge let him go free, would you say he was a good judge or a bad judge?
A bad one.
That's right. Because the Bible says that God is a good judge, and he will punish the guilty not for what they did right, but for what they did wrong. Because he loved us, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take the punishment that we deserve and put it on himself. And that's why he died on the cross. But it only applies if you accept it. That's why I asked for his forgiveness. I asked him to save me. And I'm a new man because of Christ. You understand what I'm telling you? Then what's holding you back?
Nothing.
Is that a reality in your life? The substitute that Jesus Christ was in your place when he died on the cross. We are all guilty. I'm guilty. We deserve punishment. But Jesus, in his mercy, took our place. Do you understand that you can be made new in Christ? What's holding you back? Moses had the courage to choose and to refuse. We read further, Moses chose to be mistreated with the people of God. You know, today there's brothers and sisters that are facing persecution, and we can remember them. It says in Hebrews 13, remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Some verses in Hebrews 10 say this, recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. There's so many stories that could be shared about brothers and sisters who are willing to give their lives, rather than to deny their Lord and Master Jesus Christ. This has happened in the past, and it still happens today. Moses chose the path of suffering, identifying with God's people, and we too need the courage to stand. Moving on, Moses had the courage to refuse to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Sin is failure to conform to God's moral law in our actions, our attitudes, and our nature. We are by nature sinful people. Sin is not just a bad idea because it leads to destruction. It is wrong because it is against God's holy character. However, sin is deceptive, and it's also desirable, but it does not satisfy. It says in James chapter 1, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Next week, the youth will be going to Spring Folly, and during that weekend, there'll be some seminars held. I'm going to be giving a seminar on purity for guys, and the sin of lust is very appealing. It does give pleasure for a short time, but it leads to ruin. God's promise, though, is for true happiness, real, pure satisfaction in Him. We need the courage to choose Him and to refuse to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Moses had that courage. Moses had the courage to choose the reproach of Christ and refuse the treasures of Egypt. So Moses took the worst of the Christian life over the best that this world had to offer. The shame, disgrace, and suffering as a Christian is better than the treasures of Egypt. Jesus said in Matthew, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then the Apostle Paul, describing some of the things that he could be proud of, things that he could puff himself up about. But after describing these things, he says in Philippians chapter 3, whatever gain that I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Moses had the courage to choose and to refuse. But why did he do this? What motivated Moses to be courageous? Yes, the Lord was with him. But at the end of the verses we read in Hebrews 11, it says this: he was looking to the reward. As Christians, we have a future and a hope. The resurrection from the dead, the joy of heaven, being rewarded for what we have done on this earth, laying up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can destroy. And so we need the courage of Moses that Moses had to choose and to refuse. And then how will you be remembered in this life? This is how Moses was remembered at the end of Deuteronomy 34. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. He still had his health and his strength. There has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Now, if you read in Exodus up to Deuteronomy, you'll find that Moses doesn't enter the promised land. And so we could say, well, a bit of a failure in that way. But Moses had the courage to choose to obey the Lord and to refuse what this world had to offer. Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, they had the courage to choose and to refuse. They refused to fear. They did not obey Pharaoh's command. Instead, they risked their lives and obeyed God. And because they obeyed, their son Moses had the courage to choose and refuse. So speaking again to parents, I challenge you to have the courage to be godly and so to raise godly kids. And for each of us as Christians, to be men and women that God can use. And for those who aren't Christians this morning, that you would know that Jesus is your substitute. Put your faith in him, trust what he's done for you, and then he will give you the courage to choose and to refuse. I'm going to pray, and while I pray, I'm going to invite Darren and his team to come forward, and we may as well stand now because we'll be standing as we sing in closing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've given us in your word. You've written down things that we need to know, and these things have been written as an example for us. Thank you for the faithfulness and the courage of Moses' parents, of Amram and Jochebed, as they served you, they obeyed you, they did not fear, but they chose to follow you. And that was evident in the life of Moses, learning from his parents, as he took the courage to take a stand, that he would not identify with this world, but he chose to identify with God's people. He would not enjoy sin, but he chose to refuse that, but instead, the reproach of Christ. And so for all of us, Lord, may we come to recognize our need of you. We can't